stopped. You contacted me. Yeah, I mean, after so many months that I've been here, and I hadn't heard from anybody or anything about anything.
There was a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of volunteers going on.
Now, did you call me or did I call you?
You called me.
Well, I thought someone said that you called the front desk.
I called to speak to Denise. Oh, I was calling about, you know, if Denise was back at work, because I know she's been sick.
Right.
I tried to contact her when she was in the hospital. I hadn't heard anything, and she crossed my mind. I said, well, let me call and see if somebody can tell me where she is. Is she back at work? And she answered the phone. And I was like, oh, Denise, she's back at work.
And if I said something, you know what? Let me know how to get a hold of Trish. And then Denise said, she just called a few minutes ago.
Okay, well, I was calling.
No, that's cool. Station. stage.
Yeah.
That works for me fine, too. Just kind of throwing it
on
the table.
Yeah, I see.
And what I'm saying is, we've got mostly white employees here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think all you, with the exception of Denise, I think all your employees are.
But this is a radio station that needs a blend of color if we want to really maximize what it's doing. 98 Rock, you know what? It's a white guy radio station. It's pretty basic, pretty queer.
Right.
Most radio stations in this town are either or.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think you're somebody, if you're interested, you might be able to have some ideas.
Certainly
we'd want to compensate you at some level for it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what kind of job it is you currently have, whether this sounds appealing to you or whether it's not something you're interested in, though.
Well, let me say a couple of things, because you and I never really had an opportunity to talk on this level before. I know we met briefly and we had a few meetings, and I've always felt that whatever information that I had to bring to the table, I was kind of like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, lady, kind of attitude that I felt.
Just
in general.
Probably true.
And it is true.
Okay.
And even for myself, opportunities that I've tried to position myself for when I was here as an employee, I just felt that I was not, considered as an asset or anybody that has the knowledge or the connection, so to speak, that you're implying that has come to realization now. I do have a lot of ideas. I do have a lot of suggestions. And I have had a passion for the radio station, not specifically because of the black community, but because it plays urban music as a format, and that white people listen to it because it may be the top 40 song that they heard growing up that they felt was acceptable. So they say, okay, I like that song. It's acceptable to me. It's worth me listening to. And now there's a station that's playing that. Where for the black community, it has a whole different meaning. It has a whole different context, a passion for the black community. It doesn't mean the same thing to a white person as it does a black person when they're listening to the same song.
Right. What's interesting is there's plenty of stations in this market. So if you're a black person looking for a culturally put-together radio station for you, you've got four or five options out there.
You do.
Most of them are young.
You do.
One of them's really middle AC, what have you.
Right.
But, I mean, there's real places just to make you feel right at home. They're really there for you.
But it's about also the demographic and the age demographic that you're talking about, and it's not just about women. The men are very significant in it, too. And you have to, broaden that awareness. And there's a lot of things I can get off into that I know because I dream of having my own radio station. And I've learned from other radio stations what makes Cool 105 unique, and it's a shame that it's classified in the books as a mediocre station, is because it does emphasize the oldies format of the true R&B songs, the original foundation of R&B. But it's so much more involved than just how I feel, the white sector looks at it as, oh, that's a good song, I like it, I can shag to it, I can do this, to
that.
That's
pretty much what it is. It's kind of like it's music that isn't so ethnic that it's black music.
Yeah, it's acceptable to them in that manner.
Because of the whole beach music thing,
right,
on the coast, and because it's really what is mainstream in the 70s.
Yeah.
By and large, everyone's familiar with it. And
some people
really just tend to like rhythmic music.
Yeah.
And this is it. We could certainly take music of the 70s and make it far more urban sounding if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
We could also lighten it up a lot.
Yeah.
Which I think we have a pretty good mix at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're not doing is we're not really dealing with 30 to 50% of our audience very effectively.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
We're just a bunch of white people.
Okay. Well, at least you're honest in that regard about it.
Just a bunch of white people. How can we possibly do that? And if I said a bunch of white people into the black community, I'm not sure that they're going to, even if they're sincere and really looking for the right answers, I'm not sure they're going to get a particularly positive reception. I don't know that they deserve a particularly positive reception. Because if it was me and the role were reversed, I'd say, why isn't there a black person calling on me? Why isn't there somebody who really knows me mm-hmm. to do this job. I mean, that's just kind of where I might be coming
yeah.
from. Some people might be thrilled with this, white people coming in and trying to get involved in the black community. But it just takes a big education. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Magic, you look at 3WC, you look at, what's the thing, Power. I mean, these are stations from top to bottom designed to appeal to a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like 98 Rock. We've designed 98 Rock to appeal to a group of people. Cool is a little different animal.
101, I mean, 101 is probably your biggest competition. It's not 102, even though they're an oldies format.
But the white community is. See, you're right. In the black community, Magic is our main competitor.
But
in the white community,
right.
It's 102.
But at the same time, the white people that listen to 105 aren't going to go anywhere else. They may flip-flop from time to time. But if they already like this space, they're going to stay with this space. It's going to be their primary one.
Well, just looking at Arbitron, I see a lot of cross-cubing between the
yeah, sometimes, yeah. But then there's always a reason for them to come back here. And
right.
then you capitalize on that as well. But I think, you know, a basis of it, and I will think about what we're talking about. You can think about some of the things that I've said. But I think a lot of...
here's an idea. We'll just throw
where we need to start is internally. You know, I think it's an internal issue as well. So.
Right. Although if we had things going on, we're such a small group of people here
mm-hmm.
that if we had two or three people doing something externally, it would have a major influence internally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's just an idea.
Well, that's what I mean internally. You got to change the complexion of within a little bit
right.
in order to filter in what you need from the outside.
I don't disagree. If we want to do this, but here's an idea now. You have a full-time job at Philly.
Yes.
Okay. If you knew two or three people you thought could be really effective at this,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted to have a piece of this,
mm-hmm.
what we're talking about, I would work with you in whatever time frame you needed. We would get these two or three people together and put together a sales group where if they were successful, then you would have some of their success, and I would have most of their success.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my radio station.
Okay.
So I deserve X, they deserve Y, you deserve Z.
Mm-hmm.
Because in terms of the day-to-day effort, yours would be minimal. We would pay you for finding the right people,
mm-hmm.
for spending a little time with them about what you and I decide we want.
Okay.
They would work for me primarily, but with you or for you part. And we'd just kind of take the pot of money that they bring in and collect and
mm-hmm.
split it up equitably. So that's kind of an idea. See, I don't know those three people.
Okay.
Maybe you don't either.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the real answer is, I don't really know three good, hard-working, self-motivated, conscientious, sales-oriented people who could do this job.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I don't know. If you know them, then those are assets that I would be willing to compensate fine.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but I'm also, and I point well taken on that. I agree with you on that, but also your on-air staff has to also reflect a portion of that too.
Right.
You can't continually send you know, a white DJ into, no matter how good they may be, into a black community. Well, you can, because I think black people are a little bit more, get more comfortable and receptive to a white person than the other way around. But at the same time, there's an identity situation that's there also.
If I had three black salespeople who were really committed to the station, and one of them maybe had some on-air talent, or even you had some on-air talent, I would have no problem paying you X dollars be a voice on the radio station to go do a remote if that's what we felt was the best thing for the radio station
mm-hmm.
to do. Or maybe one of these three people who you possibly know might have some potential on-air talent. They could be the talent. Or we could send a white guy and have one of our three. I mean, there is no really
simple answer. So you're just basically trying to formulate a recipe right now
exactly.
and see if you can get success with it.
Right.
Well, how are you? I know you told me the other day that you'd let Lee go, so, you know, if you don't, can you share with me what your on-air staff situation is?
We have John Major. I don't know
right.
if you met John.
I met him briefly once.
I have Linda. Those are the only two people who are on staff right now. And we're tracking other day parts and, fine for us. I've got 4 weeks before I have to be able to meet.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually 8 weeks for the fall book. It starts in September.
September?
Yeah, like September 19th.
Okay.
September 21st. So I've got time, but I figure by 4 weeks I want to have the game plan ready.
Okay.
By Labor Day or Memorial Day. Memorial Day?
Labor Day.
Labor Day. Because by the end of Labor Day, everybody kind of shifts back into fall gear. I got to have my game together by then. So that's kind of what where I'm looking. By Labor Day, I want to have some people in place, and that's the station I want to have going forward.
Okay.
Although school starts quicker, you know, it always used to be
school started. Yeah, that part of August.
Right.
Now, like the last week in August.
Right.
Yeah.
But Labor Day still becomes end of summer. People's life goes back to that 10 months out of the year. I mean, trying to get anything done in the summer is crazy. Even trying to deal with my friends.
Right.
Everybody's running everywhere. People are out of town. People are here. People, I mean, there's just a lot more freedom, especially because the kids are out. People have to figure out a way to entertain their
kids. Right, right.
So that's different. Now that the kids go back to school, Labor Day, the days start getting shorter. Day, you know, we get returned back to a more predictable lifestyle. So summer is...
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen during that time frame.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not in a super rush. I mean, we did what we did with Lee for a variety of different reasons. And you know what? He was a really good guy and a really bright guy. But there were others.
Yeah.
So now it's just a function of exploring what the possibilities are. Although we probably have an agreement on everything you've done and the way you've done it, I'm not one to really harbor a grudge or kind of just do this company because I don't agree. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I did appreciate your concern and your passion for me. Even though if it was up to me, if you had said something to me, I would have asked you to do it differently. If it's the way you felt you needed to do it, that's fine, you know?
Well, the problem is that some of my concerns, when I addressed them to my first line supervisor, I was told that it would be taken care of and it didn't need to go any further because there were some issues that when they occurred, I wanted to talk to you, but you were not available. You were out of town. And so then I had to talk to who I thought, you know, and maybe in that respect you weren't as aware of as I thought you were, or Mr. Martin wasn't as aware of as I thought he was.
Right.
And at some point when you have a general manager and an owner of a company and things are happening and you're bringing these things to someone's attention that should be keeping these people informed and nothing's being done about it, then you wonder, well, do you not care yourself, or does Mr. Martin not care? So when I finally had my fill of it and decided to leave, the letter that I wrote him was to, you know, enlighten him in case he was aware and just decided, oh, well, you know, with her, I wanted to put it in formal format so that he would know. And I also wanted to do it in case he didn't know.
Right.
And I found out that I guess there were some things that he didn't know.
Well, I was thinking a lot of what you said. Both he and I were aware of a certain level. There were some things you said that I don't necessarily agree with, and there were some things you said that we were totally unaware of. It's kind of a combination, which has to do with your point of view, our point of view.
Right.
But there was no question in my mind that you were somebody who cared about the radio station.
All right. But in that, I thought, too, well, if I'm able and capable and wanting to do more, you know, why was I not being offered an opportunity to do more rather than just, you know, the weekend gig? And there were several times that day parts came open and I was never offered the opportunity
right.
to say, would you like to try it or no? You know, I was never even asked. I had to ask. I had to inquire. And when I inquired, I was always told, oh, well, we have somebody else in mind. You know, that kind of thing. And I didn't...
Right. I wasn't really aware of that so
yeah.
much. But... History.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, but that...
And it looks like it's all worked out well for you, I hope.
Stimulated. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I have an impressive work history background. I've educated myself, and I've learned through all types of experiences. Traveled, been in the military, put myself through college, so...
Some good, some bad. It's pretty much the way it goes.
Well, yeah, you know, a few not so good, but you take a negative experience, learn from it, and make
right.
it positive. And that's what I've tried to do.
Well, here's an opportunity, okay? And I would say that if you're happy in your job, let's just keep that separate. But here's an opportunity for you to possibly do something a little bit on the side? Keep your hand or foot or toe or something in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Make a little money. If we're successful, have a kind of a management kind of position in this little thing that we put together.
Mm-hmm.
Or basically go, man, I work 8, 9, 10 hours a day. I'm pretty fried at the end of the
day. Yeah.
Thanks, but no thanks. I mean, that's fine, too. And then that was really it. I don't really have a lot of answers for you. I'm not saying quit your job, come back and do this.
Well, no, I wouldn't.
Oh, is that, oh, he's